This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging because an underperforming cardiovascular system will limit the effectiveness of any other supplementation in your regimen. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And I might wish you a very happy upcoming Memorial Day. I hope that you spend it under as happy circumstances as possible during the, despite the constraints associated with the coronavirus pandemic. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the way to get questions to us. I'm with Layla Mudin, who's our nutritionist in residence. So Layla, what's our next question?
We have an email from Chip. Chip says, good day, Dr. Hoffman, I'd like to know.
What is he, Australian?
What supplements?
Is he from Australia?
Do you take?
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Doesn't say here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, if you could share what you're taking currently, that would sure be helpful.
Okay, well, that kind of blows the rest of this podcast. Because it's going to be, let's see how to do this.
We're going to be here a while.
Yeah, I have a listing of things that I think I put up a couple of years ago, and
yeah.
My program has changed a bit, so I guess it's time for an update. Supplements that I take. Well, let's start with our sponsors. That's a convenient way of doing it. Every single one of our sponsors, I take their supplement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I take NT Factor. I take Dr. Ahira's probiotic. I take True Niagen, which is the nicotinamide riboside. I take chiolic aged garlic extract. I take a couple of CBD capsules from CB Sciences. And I'm not making this up. I mean, you know, I really do take these. Because, I mean, if I'm going to talk about these supplements, you know, I got to believe in them, and I think they're important. I also take curcumin, and I think the brand I take is Curcusorb from Protocol for Life. By the way, all these supplements you can find, except for the CBD, at FullScript. So just go to drhoffman.com/FullScript, or click on the... I guess there's a...
Click on the store.
The store. And the store leads you to FullScript, and you can order these things. I also take Bignogenol. I take vitamin C, ester C. I take a multi, which is, alpha base, it's called, from Orthomolecular.
Yes.
I take fish oil, and I take... I also take SPM because it's anti-inflammatory.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I also take tocotrienols, and instead of vitamin E, I've shifted from the vitamin E supplements to tocotrienol supplements, rich in delta tocotrienol. I take magnesium separately. I mean, I actually put a little. What's called reacted magnesium in my water, and it has
a
sweet taste, and you know, kind of makes it, you know, encourages me to hydrate. I have that with meals, and I have it, you know, when I come back from a run. I put it in my water bottle on my bike, you know, when I go for a long bike ride, because it has a sweet taste, encourages me to drink. That's my magnesium, although there's some magnesium in my multi. I take some MSM for joint health. I take some glucosamine chondroitin. I take, I take a lot more things than that, but I'm not sitting in the refrigerator to see. I take ashwagandha. And lately I've been taking some maitake mushroom for immunity. I take AHCC, which is an immune support. Initially, you know, I was taking that because for the past few years I've had a few colds. We both have had some colds. But, you know, then I found I interviewed a guy from Mushroom Science, and he said, why'd you take this, this, and this? And ever since I've been taking that, cordyceps too. In terms of respiratory infections, knock wood, you know, of all things, this year when we've had this terrible pandemic, I haven't had so much as a sniffle. So
terrific.
That's been good. Vitamin D, obviously. Yeah, vitamin D.
Yeah.
I don't take separate selenium, but I do eat a couple of Brazil nuts every day.
I make it a point to eat a couple of Brazil nuts too.
Right. Also, I take, and this is interesting. It's my bone density was a little low when I had, surprise to me. I was kind of surprised to see it was low. I take some strontium at bedtime.
Good protocol.
Yeah, and I haven't rechecked my bone density, but I guess I'll be due in a few months to see what. I wanted to wait a couple of years to see what the strontium was going to do. Generally, we go for intervals of every 2 years on bone density. And, you know, there's probably some other things that I'm taking. I take sulforaphane, which is a good overall. Oh, alpha-lipoic acid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you take any CoQ10?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I take ubiquinol. Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
Yeah.
Well, Chip.
I just had lunch before this podcast, and all these things are sort of rattling around inside me, but I got used to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. You may have to update your article, Dr. Hoffman, to talk about this. Well, Chip, there you have it. And thank you for your email. All right. Oh, here's that calcium question. We've got an email here from someone, don't have a name. Hello, my mom is 80 years old and doesn't get much calcium even to meet the RDA. She has underlying conditions. On your store's page, in the full script catalog, there are many types of calcium. Which one would you recommend?
I like osteosupport with Epraflavone.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one. It's got, you know, a lot of the cofactors. And by the way, it's not so much about calcium.
Yes, true.
Because many countries where they consume far less calcium than America, they don't have any dairy products. I think Okinawa is an example. They have very little osteoporosis.
Yeah. Yeah. And dairy is not the best source of calcium anyway. You've got your almonds, your broccoli, your greens, your salmon, your sardines, your made from scratch broths.
Yes.
Soups, stews, all of those are good sources of calcium. But it's not all about the calcium. It's also the vitamin K.
Yeah. By the way, I do. Thank you. I also take vitamin K. I take MK7 vitamin K for cardiovascular protection. Oh,
yeah.
And, I think I did mention I take kaolic garlic extract. Okay, good. MK7 is very important for bone health.
And coronary artery health too. Yeah.
Yeah, for both. Right. So, I don't know. Again, I don't know what this person's condition is.
Yeah.
Or if indeed she has osteoporosis, there's no information about her bone density.
Right, right. So, OK. Okay, well, there you have it. Mm-hmm. There you have that. That would be appropriate for an 80-year-old.
Yeah, just optimizing vitamin D and, you know, and testing to see mm-hmm. what the levels are. That would be important. Good point at which to pause, because we want to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So how about that? Let's do it now.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen Pro. We stress our bodies all the time at the cellular level with overeating, lack of sleep, and lack of exercise. These stressors damage our cells, depleting a vital coenzyme for cellular health called NAD. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to increase NAD, which supports your cellular resilience and energizes your cells to help maintain your cellular health. True Niagen Pro, cellular defense for life. For more information and to purchase, go to drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro. That's True, T-R-U, drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting those sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. We appreciate that. And so now back to our questions. What's next?
Okay, we've got one from Brad. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. From a functional and intelligent medicine approach, what tests would you order for someone experiencing anxiety? I've tried several natural supplements, melatonin, CBD, lavender, to no avail, and I'm wondering if there is something physical being missed, possibly gut, gene, or diet-related, that would support my psychological resilience.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful, wonderful question. And, you know, in the past, what we did is we did a test looking at urinary neurotransmitters. And that test was quite in vogue among integrated practitioners for, you know, quite a long time, many years. And then what we realized is that it gives us an incomplete picture of what's going on in the brain. And in fact, you know, some of these neurotransmitters are made in the kidney. So if you're going to look for neurotransmitters in the urine, you may be seeing the activity of the kidney and doesn't have any relationship to what's happening in the brain. You know, so we might say, oh, we see some not enough serotonin. Oh, well, then we need to increase serotonin. We see not enough whatever, catecholamines or something like that. And so we need to give precursors to like tyrosine and, you know, things like that. But it turns out that's not the best way to determine what's happening in the brain. The best way to determine what's happening in the brain in terms of neurotransmitters is with a brain biopsy. Well, that doesn't sound too practical. No, we don't want to do that.
Actually,
there's very sophisticated neuroimaging now, which this is in a very advanced lab technique. It's not available to the general public. And you certainly can't get it in a doctor's office. Experimentally, they can use various tracers to show the levels of different neurotransmitters, different parts of the brain. It's very complicated, and it's not, for practical purposes, it's not useful. So how do we get a handle on that? Well, we can look at urinary organic acids, because urinary organic acids and certain urinary metabolites, you know, again, that's the urine, you know, so it's not, we don't know what that's reflecting. I would look at magnesium levels. That would be important.
Uh-huh.
Red blood cell magnesium, because we know that in low magnesium states, people tend to be more jumpy, right? Blood sugar. Let's look at blood sugar. How can we determine if people have ups and downs of blood sugar? Well, we can do a glucose tolerance test. We can see if they have hypoglycemia, which can produce anxiety. Or we can do a test called the glycomark, which shows excursions of blood sugar if it's very erratic.
Yes.
Or we can just have people just check their blood sugar with a finger stick or a continuous glucose monitor. Because, you know, I really think that blood sugar is very much tied in with mood. And, in fact, I got an article here. I'm going to reach over here, so you may lose me for a second. That I was going to talk about. Find it.
Yeah, blood sugar is really important in terms of it, because it could be the prerequisite for anxiety. When we have low blood sugar or very unstable blood sugar, that sets up, it feels like anxiety. You might feel clammy, you might be short of breath, you may have palpitations. It just doesn't feel good.
Yeah, exactly.
And that alone can make us anxious.
When we did glucose tolerance tests in our office, the patients would get anxiety attacks sometimes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
They'd be shaking, a true test of unstable blood sugar. They'd be tremulous and shaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting about blood sugar.
I'm looking for an article. Oh, here it is. This is an article that I was going to talk about on the show, but we had so much on coronavirus that we weren't talking about ordinary things. Fascinating article. You'd love this. I'm going to send it to you, Layla. The title of the article, get this, Glycemic Index, Glycemic Load, and Common Psychological Disorders. Doesn't get any better than that.
Wow. The conclusion of the article,
our findings support a direct link between the odds of depression and dietary glycemic index. How about that?
Wow. True.
Yep. Right? Blood sugar can really whack you out.
Exactly. So I would say to Brad, one of the first places to look is the diet, not necessarily a supplement.
Right.
You know, why are you feeling anxious? You may have to look at what impacts on blood sugar your diet is having.
We can measure cortisol, and we can see very high levels of cortisol. We can do that. We can't look at the thyroid, and occasionally we'll see people who are very anxious, and they have hyperthyroidism. They're very jumpy because they're on overdrive.
Yeah.
Remember the Cowardly Lion? Remember the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz?
Put him up.
Right. So what did the Cowardly Lion need? He needed courage, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I thought that was he's the perfect character to illustrate the effects of low T, low testosterone.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so Bert Lahr, or whoever the character was, played the Cowardly, who's a great actor, he needed some testosterone, and then he was going to be, he was going to be a real courageous lion. So, each and every one of those could be a wrong turn in terms of diagnosing anxiety. Yeah. We don't want to be simplistic about it, but, we want to do a comprehensive workup. I would also include inflammatory markers. Because when the body's inflamed, the brain is inflamed. And when the brain is inflamed, it doesn't work well.
Right. True, all of those.
So, C-reactive protein, SED rate, those things. Mm-hmm. Maybe looking at cytokines, IL-6. And I will also point out genetics gives us a clue, too. Because there are people who have, for example, a COMP gene. Which the gene actually has to do with your ability to break down cold catecholamines.
Yes.
And catecholamines are, to some extent, stress-related.
Yeah.
So that people who have a certain configuration of COMP gene, I think it's a double A, they have an inability to break down their catecholamines. So they're sort of tripping out on their catecholamines.
They're being mugged by their hormones.
And those individuals tend to be very sensitive.
Yeah.
And they're probably
another reason for anxiety could be mitral valve prolapse.
Oh, bingo. Yeah. Listen to the heart. Yeah. Just do a physical or do an echocardiogram because that is associated very much. Yes. Thank you. That's good.
All right.
So, that's a basic primer. I want some royalties because now you can set up your own holistic psychiatry practice. just if you listen to that snippet right there, you have an advanced degree
in
integrative psychiatry.
Yeah.
So I'll take a 10% reasonable. Yeah. Well, I want residuals.
Right. Thank you for that question, Brad. I think it's time for another break, Dr. Hoffman, from one of our sponsors.
I think we actually did that already.
Oh, okay.
They just keep coming.
All right, we'll keep going. We've got one from Frank. Oh, this is good. What are the pros, if any, or cons of palm oil?
Yeah,
palm oil. That's interesting.
Yeah, palm oil is a little bit in the category of coconut oil.
Yes, it's a saturated fat.
I don't think it's as high quality, though, as coconut oil, because coconut oil has other beneficial properties. It has some medium-chain triglycerides, and it has some antibacterial, antimicrobial compounds within it.
Caprylic acid, lauric acid.
Yeah.
And yeah, palm oil may have smaller amounts of those, but because it's still a very saturated fat, it can also be very shelf-stable as well. And, you know, I wouldn't go look for it. I don't necessarily cook with it myself. For me, it's good quality pastured butter, excellent quality olive oil, and coconut oil.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's possible that certain recipes may call for palm oil. I bought some, and I never ended up using it because only certain recipes called for it. And I have plenty of other, satisfactory oils. You know, occasionally I'll use, just for flavor, I'll use actually bacon lard. That sounds horrible for some people, but I'll use
We save the bacon fat and we use it to cook with. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, for certain things. I mean, I don't want everything. I mean, it's like, like that mania, like bacon-scented candles and things like that. It's like enough already. It's like bacon is fine. I'll have it here and there. Occasionally I use it to impart a certain flavor to food. You know, other dishes call for butter, other dishes call for olive oil, other dishes call for some dark sesame oil, which imparts a nice, strong, nutty flavor to things. I tend to avoid soy oil, canola oil, safflower oil. Those are the unstable oils, very polyunsaturated, rich in omega-6s. So I use ghee a lot. Because ghee, doesn't burn.
Clarified
I use it
book.
When I make my eggs. I'll use it for, certain other, sauteing vegetables a lot, when I'm making an omelet. What else? Specialty oils. Macadamia, the mac oil, mac nut oil.
Yeah, macadamia.
Fairly
I like
saturated.
Avocado oil, too.
I'm sorry?
I like avocado oil, too.
Avocado oil. A little delicate. I might use it in my mayo is avocado oil based as opposed to soy oil based or canola oil based.
Yes. Much better option.
Healthier option. But palm oil, I don't know. I mean, I guess certain recipes may call for palm oil, South Asian recipes.
Yeah.
I'm also concerned a little bit with the quality of palm oil and potential contamination in palm oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible. Yeah. Well, I suppose with any oil, but why specifically palm oil, would you say?
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, I just Googled this while you were saying that.
Yeah.
There's an article in The Independent, which is a English newspaper, the reason why palm oil is so controversial. And here's the essence of it. It says palm oil has a high saturated fat content, which can be harmful to cardiovascular health. Well, I don't even accept that. But if you accept that premise, they admit. However, one study found that when consumed as part of a balanced diet, palm oil does not have incremental risk for cardiovascular disease. So I don't really see big problems. With palm oil. I mean, the fact that it's saturated fat, I mean, that doesn't daunt me.
Nope. Me neither. So.
And at least, and it's also, when you use it to heat, it's very stable. It doesn't.
Yes. Because of its saturation.
The chemical bonds are very much more stable.
Right. They're very heat stable for high heat cooking. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that works.
Well,
Frank, thank you for that question.
On that note, Layla, you know, so we put in another commercial. Why don't we give him an extra commercial? You know, because we've already done okay. Four. No, I'm kidding. Time's up.
Time's up. Okay. Time's up.
I mean, you're being very dutiful about, you know.
Yeah. Announcing well, that. You know, I was very excited about taking non-COVID related questions too. Right. So
it's such a relief. Oh,
yeah. Shoot.
It's feel like, you know, it's like, what's next? You know, can I go to a baseball game?
Oh my gosh.
It's like, you know, summer is here. It's Memorial Day. So enjoy yourself. You know, in whatever small way you can, release a little bit the self-imposed lockdown or the externally imposed lockdown.
Get some fresh air and sunshine. Under.
And we'll reconvene again next week. Hopefully refreshed and reinvigorated and dedicated to the task of bearing our way out of the coronavirus pandemic. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Layla. Yes.
Have Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
A wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
This
is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.